produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
Hold up the line. Hold up the light. Hold up the light. Oh, ye heaven-bound soldiers. Hold up the light.
Everybody.
Hold up the light. Let your light shine around the world.
Good morning. Good morning to all you beloved divine ones of the divine. You are divine and you are one of a kind and you are divine. You are whole and you are holy. You are W-H-O-L-E and you are H-O-L-Y. Guess what? You have just landed in love. You were made in love, by love, for love, to be loved. Let me repeat that. We were all of us, no matter what race, color, or creed, no matter where you live on this globe, you were made in love. We all were made in love, by love, for love, to be loved. My name is Imarja Jubilee, and I am an author, inspirational speaker, TV host, creative consultant, and a life coach. And I am your host for Love, Light, and Positivity. And we welcome all of you all over the globe to our show today. We welcome you as being a part of all humanity. We welcome you. We welcome you to this day, to this glorious brand new day. And we are delighted to be here with you today. And most of all, we're grateful. And you know what we're grateful for? We're grateful to be alive. We're grateful to be alive today. It's a good day to be alive. No matter where you are, no matter where you're listening from, it's a great day to be alive. In these times of uncertainty, in this time of pandemic and everything else that's going on, it's a great day to be alive. And I get excited about being alive when I can wake up every morning and I think about the two gifts that I've been given, my eyes to see, my mouth to speak, and I say, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. I have an ear that I can hear, and I ask the divine to let me hear with the ear behind the ear, not from my ego, but the ear behind the ear. And you know what else? God breathed into us. God breathed into all of humanity, and we became living souls. We became living souls. And the breath that I'm breathing, the breath that is given to me is also given to you. Breath is a gift. Breath is life. So let us take a breath together. Most precious breath. Let's breathe in the coolness. Breathing in. And exhale. Out. Let's do it again. Breathing in. And breathing out. And you know what has just transpired? We have been given life by that breath. And with all the things that have gone on over the past week and over the past month, we have to realize the importance of a breath. We had a fellow human being's breath taken away from him. There was no mercy. There was no mercy. And when civilization has lost mercy, God gives us mercy. He was not given, Mr. Floyd was not given mercy. But we are here and we can breathe. So it's a gift. It's a gift to be alive. Let us breathe one more time together. And breathing out, we say thank you, God. Always we say thank you for the breath. And that breath that we've been given is cool and it's life-giving. Make sure you say thank you at the end of every breath that you have. Because breath is life. And life, like I always say, is meant to be lived in full expression. That means you have to express the divine in all your thoughts, your manners, and your behaviors with a smile, with a hug, always showing love. Breath is very, very important. And we know that because we are breathing, that we are worthy, and that we are enough, because God has already made us enough. We can let go of all of the programming because we've been domesticated in how we ought to be and how we ought to receive. I'm here to tell you today, when you connect with Jesus the Christ in your heart and let it pour out, everything else is taken care of. You're given the breath and we are alive. And we're going to say, and so it is on that part. And we're going to breathe in again and breathe out. Now, I would like to thank Josie of Josie's Inspirational Network and Kayla Pageant, who is CEO of Finding My Way Radio, for the opportunity to be a part of this network. And for me having this platform, it truly is a gift. And it truly has enhanced my life and enlarged my territory to be able to spread love, light, and positivity. That's the name of the show, Love, Light, and Positivity. And what I'm feeling is that I'm on purpose. You know why I feel like I'm on purpose? Because I feel like I have been ordained by the one, by the big G, by God, to do exactly what I'm doing today. And that is to spread the word in a positive way, to be a part of the solution and not the problem. So this is why I'm here today, to be a part of the solution. And I invite you into this space. I invite you into this place. I invite you to have heart coherence with me today as we move through this program. And, you know, my heart is heavy today. And I've been praying and contemplating and concentrating on solutions, on what is the solution to these times of uncertainty and times of chaos that we're going through. A lot of unrest all over the globe, everywhere. But we know who sits high and who looks low. We know that who's in charge. And we have to remember that. And one of the things that has come to me through my time of prayer and meditation and sitting in the woods, because I love to sit in the woods in Mother Nature, because I feel hugged by God. In the midst of nature, I am hugged by God. And what happens is, the word that came up for me one day was coexist. Coexist. Y'all hear what I say? coexist. I do believe that coexistence is very, very important. I do believe that we were meant to coexist. I'm going to say that again. We were meant to coexist. We were meant to coexist with the cardinals, the sparrows, the eagles, and even the mighty condor that flies through the sky. In fact, we were meant to coexist with every kind of bird that flies across the Big G's ever-expanding blue skies. We were meant to coexist. Y'all remember that song? It was a song where I'm going to put my own little version in here. I love it when we coexist. I love it when we are coexisting. I love it when we coexist. We were meant to coexist with the ants that crawl on the ground and the bees. Even though the bees can sting you, you know, the bees give you sweetness. They make honey. We're still meant to coexist even with the bees. We're even meant to coexist with something as small as a flea. Okay? I know when I was growing up, I was taught to swat a fly, step on an ant, kill a worm that crawl. That's what I was taught. But when I think about it now in the broader perspective, we were meant to coexist. Because all those things were created by the divine. We were meant to coexist with all races. No, red, black, brown, yellow, and white. Because we all were created by God. We all, if I cut you, you're going to bleed red. I'm going to bleed red. Because that means that we're all the same. It's just that some of us have a little bit more melanin in our skin than others. I'm here to tell you we were meant to coexist. We were meant to not just tolerate. We were not meant to separate. We were not meant to segregate. We are meant to coexist. We were meant to treat our brothers with love and respect, no matter what their color. We are meant to coexist in these earthly body temples that we got with all of humanity. And I'm here to tell you we can. We can coexist. We have to have a change of mind. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. When you transform your mind, because you become your thoughts, you manifest from inside of what you're thinking in your mind. So what you dwell on becomes outwardly in the world. So I'm here to tell you, we were meant to coexist. And we were meant to coexist in love. We were meant to coexist in love for all humanity. We were meant to coexist no matter where we sit or how we be. We were meant to coexist. So we're going to breathe in on that and breathe out. Breathing in and breathing out. And as we further now move along with our show, I have a very special guest with me today. I have someone who I feel has a voice that needs to be heard. I have someone with me today who is, he's a Christ life coach. He's a minister. He's a youth advocate and he's a writer. And he also has a beautiful wife and he has a family of 9 kids. We want to welcome Everett Gilliam to our show. Welcome, Everett.
Yes. Hi. Good morning. Good afternoon and good evening. I pray and hope that everyone is doing well. And I'm honored today to be here as a host,
as a guest. Yes, it's so wonderful. And I thank you for consenting to be a part of the show today, because I feel like with what has been happening in the world today, all the chaos is happening to black males. And I wanted someone on my show that has a voice, that is a person of color, that is a black African-American, however you want to put it. And you were the perfect person to come there because I like what you are about. I like what you say and how you say it. Now, you heard me talk in my monologue about coexist. Coexist. Now, do you feel the way that the divine has created us, that it's possible for us to coexist? And if so, why?
I truly believe that it is possible for us to coexist. And possible is a small word to the meaning of it, because we were meant to coexist. So to make a possibility of it, it will be just based on our choices. And I think that's where we actually fall short today, is that we don't make the proper choices. And if we go back to the beginning in the book of Genesis, where life all began, we were given the opportunity to make a choice, but we made the wrong choice. So making the right choice will open up greater possibilities for us to coexist.
Greater, I love that word possibilities. Possibilities, because that says it can go on and on. It's infinite. Infinite. So there's never one way we can do this. There's many possibilities, just like race. And I go back to race. And I go back to personality. And I go back to persons and how they express themselves. Everybody has possibilities to manifest in the way that God guides them to do it.
That's right.
And then out of that comes the coexistence, that thread that brings us all together. And we are not meant to criticize how our brother does it. And if we can't say something good like we were talking earlier, don't say it.
That's right.
So we were meant to coexist.
Yes, yes.
And so have you found it hard as an African-American male to be a part of the overall structure of the way we live globally and individually in your community where you are?
I have, because it's so rare of people choosing the possibilities to live a positive life.
Okay.
Because of the pressure, because of the nature of the negative that surrounds us, it's so glorified that I find it kind of difficult to fit into that, because those are the challenges for what we should be living as a positive life.
As a positive
to coexist.
To coexist, yes.
People find it easy to coexist in negativity.
Oh, you, amen to that,
But it's so difficult for them to gravitate to want to just be righteous and do what's right. You know, when you tell somebody to live right, or we tell somebody to think positive, they make it feel like this is something that's so hard. But when we turn on the television, we turn on the radio, we hear all the negative. We hear all the things that degraded us to live and coexist together. We hear all the division, and it's like, as a people, we gravitate to that, and we uphold that. We give energy into that.
We give energy to it. That's where Christ, that's where Christ consciousness comes in.
Yes.
And I know you're a Christ life coach.
Yes.
When people ask from their Christed state, it's not a problem.
Right.
Because be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind.
Exactly.
As we talked about earlier. Thank you for that, Everett. Now, I want to know from you, do you believe in mistakes?
I truly do.
And so what is the best mistake that you've ever made?
The best mistake that I ever made, and I had to think about that.
Okay.
You know, really hard, because I made so many mistakes in my years of growing. But the best mistake that I could say that I've made was to spread myself.
Okay.
To
now tell us what that means there, because I'm
spreading myself is, I have 9 children.
Okay.
And they're all not by the same woman.
Okay.
But those mistakes that I had made in spreading myself to those 4 different women, it was a best mistake, because I got a better part out of it, a better part of me. I had beautiful children by these individuals.
Okay. I've never heard it explained. Man, you on the page today.
See, because some people will regret.
Okay.
That, oh, man, if I could turn everything around, I would just have all my children by one person. But, you know, life is a matter of stages in life. You know,
it is, isn't it?
Who I am today, I wasn't that individual back then. But even though I made those mistakes back then, I'm able to live without regret, because I now have something that's a better part of me. I have an extension of myself, which is my beautiful children by those individuals. So although we're not together now, it was, you know, a beautiful mistake to me.
Yeah,
I got something out of it, and she got something out of it.
And what I hear you saying, life is progressive.
Yes.
It's progressive. It's a process. And we just don't grow up because we've been domesticated, thinking these things that we were doing was okay. That's what our parents did, the best they could with what they had, and teaching us how to do. I know I can talk about, look, when someone asked me about, as you in my book, Couldn't Keep It to Myself, it's 22 poems about how my name got changed, or because I was marrying, thinking the names were going to make me whole. But I don't regret it. I have no regret about having had 4 marriages.
Right.
Because what I learned from that, that didn't work.
Right.
And it took that. So that's the best mistake that I ever made, right? You talk about mistakes. And there really are no mistakes.
No.
There really are
It's learning in all of them.
It's learning in all of that. So let's move on. What do you feel is the purpose of your life at this time? Where are you in that process?
The purpose of my life is to actually express as well as encourage and implement the purpose of why we were born.
Why we were created.
And how and who we were created from. And to get back to that original, which I call an organic lifestyle.
Organic. I love that word, organic.
Yes.
Yes.
Because, see, we have been domesticated.
Yeah, we've been domesticated.
We have been diluted and tainted with.
Yes.
We have been hijacked.
Yes. Hijacked.
And so what we have to do is now we have to pull off all the rubbish, dig away in the rocky soil, and find that diamond that's in us.
Yes.
The diamond that we were really created to be from our creator.
Yes.
And get back to how we were created. So that's my purpose, is to show people, as I say in my ministry, imitate God on purpose eternally.
Say that again so order to hear.
Imitate God on purpose eternally. Agape.
Agape.
It's a lifestyle.
It's a lifestyle. Yes. It is. That's so beautiful. That it, because I also, we coincide because I started getting back to your first nature. When we came into this world, mm-hmm. we came into it pure. Mm-hmm. And from the first time that there was a slap on our butt as a baby, mm-hmm. we were began the indoctrination. So from age mm-hmm. 1 to 7, going to school in this educational system way it's set up in America, yes. and then you go ahead on, you're going into middle school, mm-hmm. everything is programmed out of
yes.
you.
Yes.
That divine, is, it's all covered up. Right. So when we become adults, like what I hear you saying is, you help people to realize that first nature. That first nature. So tell me, if you could change, if God said, Everett, I'm going to give you this wand, all right? And in this wand, you have the power to change 3 things in this world. What would you change, Everett?
I would first start with changing the evil that exists in this world.
Okay.
Because, let me say this. Not precisely change the evil that exists, but minimize it.
Uh-huh.
Because the evil exists is the balance that we all were created to be in. There's good and there's evil. It's two forces.
Okay.
So through the evil that we have and see around us, we learn.
Uh-huh.
We learn what not is.
That we learn in there.
Right.
Right.
And so I would change that. I would change the level or the measurement of that evil. I would definitely change the food supply.
Okay.
Because what we consume, as the word of God tells us, you are what you eat.
You are what you eat.
So if we are consuming in this temple that the Most High God dwells in,
mm-hmm.
if we're consuming the wrong things, then that means that we're depleting our health and we're depleting the greatest wealth that we have, which is ourself.
Yes.
Which everything comes from.
Yes, yes.
And the third thing, and a little bit of humor,
okay.
is I would change my height. I would change my height.
Y'all
because heard, I'm a big man in a little body.
But you know what? From what I know of you, you know, what I know of you, you do not personify that. Okay? Yeah. That's not the energy that you bring.
No.
Because good thing come in small packages, okay? For lack of a better word, you know?
Indeed.
Because you
yes.
have this energy. It's all about the energy that yes. you bring. And yes. when you're in love and positivity, and when you have a Christ heart,
mm-hmm.
you project the Christ-like
mm-hmm.
and the Christ-like being, because yes. that has a light. Because Christ was the light of the world,
right? Right.
And that's what that mm-hmm. I've never, you know, meeting you, I didn't get that.
Yes,
I didn't see it, and I didn't feel it.
Right.
And I'm good at picking up on vibrations and things like that. So y'all heard that he had to add a little bit of humor in there.
Yes.
So tell, in what words of wisdom would you like to leave with the community? At my listening community and the radio audience, how they can bring their life to another level during these times of uncertainty.
Again, in the Holy Scriptures, it talks about seeking ye first the kingdom of God.
Okay.
And I always like to make words stand out and give meaning and life to these words, because the word is life. Christ said that I am the truth, the way,
and the life. Yes.
And he is that word.
Uh-huh.
And so when we talk about words, I would say that the word of beginning to manifest is to learn to know who you are.
Uh-huh.
Learn to have a zeal to rediscovering who you are.
Rediscovering who you are.
seek that kingdom.
Okay.
When we talk about seeking the kingdom, we know that the mind and the head that rests upon our shoulders is where a kingdom could reside. Because I say it's a king and it's a dome.
Okay, dome, okay.
So the mind, the head, is a dome where the king reigns.
Okay.
So when we begin to have that mind in us that was also then the Messiah, we begin to allow him to rest on the kingdom and be seated there.
Okay.
And when he's seated there, he's a part of us and we are part of him. So then now I've sought the kingdom of God and I've become my organic self again.
You've become your Christ.
I've been born again.
You're born again, but you transformed.
I've been re-transformed by the renewing of my mind.
Yes, yes.
I've been reconciled back to the Father in whom I am now a citizen in.
A citizen in.
So I would tell people to definitely be eager to unlearn the rubbish that you've been trained.
That programming.
And be reprogrammed by the renewing of your mind
and through
to
Christ
become who Christ and God created you to be when he first breathed the Ruach, the Holy Spirit, in you when you were yet in heaven before you yet became on your earth.
I think that that's wonderful.
That's coexistent.
That's coexistent
with the Father,
with
the
Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
And the Holy Spirit.
And the Holy Spirit. Gotta have three.
Yes.
So how can people get in touch with you?
Most of the time, you can reach me on my Facebook by inboxing me. I have an email account, which is Agape Living. Agape Living is IGOPELIVING at gmail.com.
Okay.
If you would like to, feel free to give me a call. I'm open for calls.
Okay.
If you're in need of understanding and wanting to know
so what's your phone number?
Spiritual development.
Yeah, what's
my phone number is 804-479-2474.
Say it again.
804-479-2474.
Well, we want to thank you, Everett, for being on our show today. We have to have you back again because Everett is very talented with music and spoken word. And we're going to see if we bring y'all a show with just spoken word along with his wife. That's going to be our goal to do that.
Yes.
And what we want you to remember today is this. We were meant to coexist. And we were meant to coexist in love. We were meant to accept and believe in that everything that God put breath in, everything that moves, that crawls, that flies, we were meant to coexist. And most of all, we were meant to coexist in love. Thank you for joining us today here on Love, Light, and Positivity. And we'll see you next time. And remember that you were made in love, by love, for love, to be love.
Produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
It is always a joy to connect with you on Divine Connection program on Finding My Way Radio. This is Pastor Henry from Kenya, and I bless the Lord that you are tuned in. My prayer and desire for you is to grow in the Word of God, build your faith, and put your trust in the one who never changes, and that is God. In the book of John, chapter 3, verse 16, this is a very common verse, but the center of Christ's purpose and mission on the earth. The Bible says, "For so God loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever shall believe in him shall not or should not perish, but have everlasting or eternal life." The two things that you need to mark there, whosoever, that means any person. Number two, the Bible says, "And shall have everlasting or eternal life," because after this life there is another life, and the other life will only be determined by your relationship with the giver of this life. Now we have become his children. That means we have right now repented of our sins. We have become the children of God, according to John chapter 1 verses 12, that "And to all those who received him, he gave them the power to be called the children or the sons of God." Now let's exploit and look at our relationship with God. And today, I want us to share on a topic entitled, "You Are Loved." you are loved. Because in this world, people are looking for people to love them. And there is nothing wrong with that. Our wives want their husbands to love them. Husbands are demanding their wives to love them. The children want their parents to love them. The parents want their children to love them. I mean, as a pastor, the church members want me to show them love. And as members of the church, I also want them to show me love. And there's nothing wrong with that. But we are talking about you are loved, and we are talking about the love of God, which we call agape love. That very time or moment you repented and became a child of God, you entered into a relationship that cannot be broken. And let me repeat again, a relationship that cannot be broken. Because God is a covenant-keeping God. Jesus said, "And those that you gave unto me, none have I lost." That means God will never, or Jesus will never, when you come to him, discard you or throw you away. Sometimes when we are faced with the challenges in life, the devil wants us to question our relationship with our Father. Sometimes we feel inadequate and weak to an extent of even questioning the very, very salvation that we have received. I've met at times people who are asking, "Am I really born again? And if I'm born again, why is it that this and that and that and this is happening to me?" Now, let me separate the two. It does not mean that the things that are happening to you, and especially if they are opposite to your desire, it does not then indicate, or is not an indicator, that you are not born again. Because salvation is when we do repentance, or we turn away from our wicked ways and come to the Lord. And once we do that, then we become children of God. We enter into a relationship with him. Now, what we go through, sometimes we need to reanalyze them and look at them from a different angle again. But the truth is, once you give your life to Jesus Christ, or once you acknowledge him as Lord and Savior, then you are saved. So no matter what you are going through, your salvation still remains intact, unless then I am sinning or I'm moving away from God completely. But if I am still in Christ, challenges will come. Afflictions will come. But as they come, my hope and my trust should continue to remain in him. Now let's turn to the book of John. And that is John chapter 15. As we look at the message today, you are loved. John chapter 15 and verses, we will read from verses 1 to around verses 11. The Bible says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. I am the true vine, and my Father is the dresser." That means Jesus is saying he is the true vine. So if Jesus is the true vine, then there are also other vines that are not true. And that means that we must be very careful. There is always the real product and a counterfeit product. That means Jesus is saying, "I am the true vine, but again, there are other vines that are not true." In our village where I come from, we have what we call the wild vines that are even poisonous. And sometimes they look like real fruits, but when you eat them, they are bitter, and even they can cause a great damage to one's life. So Jesus is saying, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser." Verse 2, "Every branch in me that bears not the fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it, that it may bring forth more fruit." Verse 3, "Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you." Verse 4, "Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear on itself except it abides in the vine. No more can you except you abide in me." Verse 5, "I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abides in me, I and in him, the same brings forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing." Verse 6, "If a man abides not in me, he is cast off as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burnt. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask whatever you will, and it shall be done unto you." Now, I want us to look at three areas as we explore this message. Area number 1, verses 2. John chapter 15, verse 2, the Bible says, Every branch in me that bears not fruit, he takes away. Every branch in me that bears not fruit, he takes away. Now, the word take away in Greek is airos. The word take away in Greek is airos, which means to lift up. So what the Bible says, or what the Bible then means, it means that every branch in me, remember it says already you are in Christ Jesus, every branch in me that bears not, I lift it up. Brethren, one of the things that really encourages me just to believe and continue believing in the Lord is that God never casts us away. God never discards us. God never throws us away. The Bible says he lifts up, he airos us, so that when we were down, God will lift us up to the next level so that we can become what he wants us to be. And that is exactly the will and the plan of God in our lives, so that we can be able to bear. God, because of his love for his children, will always give us more opportunities to grow and help us to flourish when others would have cast us off. And that is the big difference between God and man. While men will not want anything to do with you, and especially when you seem to be failing, God still lifts you up so that you can be able to bear fruit. You could be listening to me now, and it's like men have cast you off. They have given up on you, even including family members. God is airosing you. God is lifting you up, because he understands and he knows the potential and the power that is within you. I have seen married men, when a child is not forthcoming in their marriage, they will tend to chase away the wife and look for another woman. That is wrong approach. God, even when nothing seems to be coming out of us, he lifts us up. He adds more manure because he knows that with time, or in my time, or within my season, I will be able to bear fruit. And because my season will always come, the Bible says times and seasons belong to God, then I will be able to. Business requires a lot of patience so that we can be able to realize the fruit at a later stage. Bringing up children demands a lot of perseverance. If you ever want to see them become what God intended them to be right from the beginning. So number one, what God does, he lifts us up. God knows that there is potential in you. God knows that there is power in you. And because of some circumstance that have made you to be down, God will not cast you off. God will not throw you off. But what God will do, he will lift you up. And I pray this moment, wherever you are, I don't know in which situation you are in, but may the Lord God lift you up in that situation. May the Lord God lift you up in that condition. Yes, you may think that nothing good can come out of you, but let me tell you, you are in the hands of the potter, and the potter is the one who is molding and making you. And until he knows that indeed what I've made is right, then he'll be able to release you and put you on the market, because now he understands and knows. Wait on the Lord. God is lifting you up, and very soon you will begin to bear fruit. So when God lifts you up, is that you may be able to bear fruit. Now, number two, here we have said, God will lift you up. Because just the way we read, every branch in me that bears not fruit, he lifts up, or he takes away. That means he lifts up, he airos. That is in Greek. Number two, which again we read in verses 2b, the Bible says, the vine that bears fruit, he prunes. Verse 2, the Bible says, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it, that it may bring forth more fruit. He prunes it so that it can be able to bear more fruit. Now, I want you to understand the word of God. The word prunes, as used here, means to remove unnecessary branches so that you begin to bear, or you bear more fruit. The first category of people, God lifts them up so that they can bear fruit. The second category of people is that he prunes them so that they can bear more fruit. Now, when I was reading this verse, I thought, if I'm bearing fruit, then God would be rejoicing and clapping for me. But amazingly, he's taking me through pruning. And we understand pruning is not easy, because you are cutting off the branches. There are things that God is cutting off in you so that it can bear much fruit. Some of us, God is cutting that anger. God is cutting that jealous envy, the bitterness, the greed, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. That is what God is cutting off. I remember some years back before I became a full-time pastor, and one of the things that I realized God was working on me was in my area of speech. Because as a minister or as a servant of God, you don't just wake up speaking and saying anything. You only speak what God wants you to speak. Number two, one of the things again that God was really teaching me was patience. Because God wanted me to be patient. There are people I've met in life, and if you're not patient with people, you can give up. You can easily surrender. But because God takes you through the process of teaching you on patience, then you'll be patient with the people. People may not do the way you want things to be done, but if you are patient with them, as you continue to teach and direct them in the fear and in the ways of the Lord, then they will be able to. Now here, God, what he does, he prunes. He removes the unnecessary branches so that the ones that are remaining can be able to bear much fruit. So the second category of people, you are supposed to bear more fruit. And we need to realize that there is an ability in each one of us, not just to bear fruit, but bear much fruit. And because God knows us, God understands us. The Bible says, he who searches our hearts, he knows, he understands there is the potential in you. There is the power in you. And that is why he will prune you so that you can bear much fruit. So God uses the word to prune to indicate the love he has for us. Pruning in the world system, it may look like to be hurting us. But the Bible says, do not despise the chastening of the Lord. Because when God chastens us, when God disciplines us, he wants us to be good. So pruning is one way that God is using so that you cannot just bear, but you may bring forth more fruit. Paul talking to Timothy in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 16. He says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 16. That all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Many times we have prayed for righteousness, but I've realized again, righteousness is not just by prayer, but again, when you follow the instructions of the word of God. In Psalms 119 verse 9, the Bible asks a very good question. How can a young person keep his ways pure? And the Bible answers, it is by heeding to the word of God. You keep the word of God in you. No wonder the psalmist says, your word have I hidden in my heart, and that I may not sin against you. When you understand that God will use his word to prune us, and that means it is the word when we are taught, when we are rebuked through the word, that is how God is pruning us. Sometimes when we come to church, God will use the servant of God or the person ministering that day just to minister and speak to you. When you read the word of God, God will use that very word to prune and remove some things that are not needed in you. So that as you run this race, as you walk this walk, you can be able to walk with it with that freedom, knowing that he who began a good work in me shall be able to bring it to fruition. So number two is that God prunes us so that we can bear more fruit. And that is the desire of God. And I pray that wherever you are, it is not just where you are. Somebody said, the greatest enemy of best is better. Or most of us would always want to live an average life. You are born in an average family. You went to an average school. You are living an average life. You will die an average death, and you will be buried in an average grave, or be put in an average coffin. No, God wants us to go beyond average. God desires that at the end of the day, we don't just bring in more fruits, but we'll be able to look at the third one. And that means we must be ready and willing to go to the next level so that God can help us to become what he wants us to be. Number three, he says, remain or abide in me. Verses 5, the Bible says, I am the vine and you are the branches. He that abides in me and I in him. So number one, God wants us to abide in him. The Bible reminds me of a verse where the Bible says, draw near to me and I will draw nearer unto you. When we draw near to God, God will draw near to us. And then the Bible says, and then you will resist the devil and he will flee from you. The only way we can be able to resist the devil and flee from us is when we draw near to God. And because when we draw near to him, automatically he will draw near to us. That is our God. So the Bible says, if we abide in him and he abides in us, then the Bible says the same things, the same brings forth much fruit. Now remember, the first one, you will bear fruit. The second person, you will bear more fruit. But now the third person who abides in Christ will bear or bring forth much fruit. And there is a difference between much and more. Because much is uncountable. It is something that you cannot be able to count. That is why we talk about much sand. Because you cannot count it. That means God wants us to bring in fruit that people cannot be able to count. So the first level is to bear fruit. Here he lifts us up. And we said we use the word, a Greek word, aeros, which means to be lifted, to lift up. And then the second level is to bear fruit, more fruit. That is where he prunes us. For God to enable us to bear fruit, then he will prune us. Then the third level is where we are going to bear much more fruit because we are abiding in him. In fact, he says, if we do not abide in him, verse 6, if a man abides not in me, he is cut off as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into fire, and they are burned. That means if we cannot abide in the Lord, we cannot be able to do anything. He is the vine. We are the branches. God himself is the vine dresser. And because of that, then we will automatically be able to bear fruit because we are abiding in Christ. During dry season, I have seen trees that do not dry. And especially those trees where their roots have gone to the source of the water. Or those trees that are planted by the riverside. That river, as long as it is flowing with water, I can assure you that tree will never dry off. Even during famine, it will continue to flourish. Why? It is next to the source of water. When we abide in Christ, when we remain in Christ, brethren, I can assure you, we will be able not just to bear fruit, not just to bear much fruit, but we shall be able to bear much fruit, because that is God's will and God's desire. As I conclude this message today, I want you to know that God loves you so much that he desires that we may bring in or we may bring forth fruit. Each one of us will bear fruit as his or her level. Like I said, level one are just people God is lifting up so that they can just bear fruit. And level two, there are people God is pruning so that they can bear more fruit. And then level three are people God desires that they may abide in him so that they can be able to bear much fruit. Verse 7, which I want to conclude with, the Bible says, if you abide in me and my words, please remember that, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. Now I understand one of the reasons why our prayers are not answered, or why some of the things we have been asking are not given, is because we are not abiding. When we abide, God is a covenant-keeping God. And he says in verse 7, then we shall ask for whatever we want, and it shall be given unto us. The Bible says in the New Testament, up to now we have not asked for anything. Ask for whatever you want in my name, and my Father will do it. Jesus Christ telling us. And that's why I said, when we come into a relationship with him, when we abide in him, when we remain in him. Now, abiding and remaining in him does not mean then we are perfect 100%. No, we are still struggling. We are still going through issues. But the truth is, I am still holding onto and abiding on the branch, on the vine. Because as a branch, I cannot bear fruit if I do not remain or abide on the vine. And because God is the vine dresser, God is the one who takes care of it and tendering it, he will make sure that as a branch which is abiding on the vine, I'll be able to bear fruit. Now he says in verse 7, and ask whatever you want, and it shall be done unto you. I want you to know that God loves you. And that's why he sent his only son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for us. The Bible says, while we were yet still sinners, he sent his son and he died on the cross. I want to pray together with you that we may know and understand that God loves you, and he loves you so much that he desires that we may bear fruit. He desires that we may bear more fruit. And then he desires that we may bear much fruit as you abide in him. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you because of the love you had for us right from the beginning. The Bible says, while you were yet still sinners, Jesus Christ came and died on the cross for our sins. I want to thank you, Lord, for my listener who is listening to me right now. Lord, we may be in a situation, we may be in a condition that we feel like, Lord, the world is coming to an end and nobody seems to love us. But I want us to understand that, God, you loved us with an everlasting love that cannot be taken away. Help us, Lord, my Father, and lift us up that we may be able to bear fruit. Lord, may you continue to prune us so that we may be able to bear more fruit. As we abide in you, Lord, help us even to bear more fruit to the glory and the honor of your name. Father, I want to pray for my listener who may be sick, Lord. I declare healing right now. Lord, some of them may be going through a financial constraint right now. Father, the Bible says silver and gold belongs to you. David said, I was young and now I am old. Lord, let them see your divine provision, God, because you are God. I want to pray, Lord, for every condition that one may be going through, either in marriage or in family. Lord, I declare your intervention, Father, because you are God. Are you there? And you are not born again. I will never end this service without giving an opportunity to just give your life to Jesus Christ and acknowledge him as Lord and Savior. And as you repent, then you become his son. Say, Lord Jesus, today I acknowledge you as Lord and Savior. Write my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. Fill me with the Holy Spirit and enable me to live a victorious life. If you have just made that confession, please look for a Bible-believing church. Associate with them. Let them know. Look for a believer and let them help you to know the Lord and abide in him so that you can be able not only to bear fruit, not only to bear much fruit, more fruit, but you may be able to bear more fruit to the glory and honor of God. I bless you. The Lord God bless you. We are praying with the entire world. We are praying with every believer, wherever you are, that the protection of God will be upon you, that no pandemic of corona, no pandemic of COVID-19 shall come near your dwelling, including your family and your children, to the glory and honor of his name. May the Lord God protect you. May the Lord God provide unto you. And may he watch over your going out and your coming in. In Jesus' name we pray and believe. Amen.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
Hello, listener. Great speaker. My name is Reverend Anthony Singuti from Kenya, the founder of Revelation Revealing and Independence Ministry. I want to talk today about don't cry. That is my message, that you should not cry. First of all, I want to thank God for finding my way with you for eyes and years, and the way you love sister Kayla. Now I want to close on with my sermon. It comes from the book of Luke, chapter 7, verse 11 to verse 3. I'll read. Soon afterwards, Jesus went to a town called Nain, and his disciples and the large crowd went along with him. As he approached the town gate, a church person was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. A large crowd from the town was with her. When the Lord saw her, his heart went out to her, and he said, don't cry. My message is, don't cry. The Bible is talking about one widow who has lost her husband, and you know all of us, when you lose something valuable, because this was a married woman with her husband, she was living a happy life. But that trust in the husband died, so she was left a widow. And the Bible says, this widow was the only son, the only hope, the only children, the only together, she has been left with, also died. And the crowd was moving out, a procession, heading for the burial of the only son of this widow. And the Bible says, Jesus was also in the town of Nain. And when Jesus met this crowd, he felt compassion and told these people, don't cry. I want to say, at the loss of a husband, she had lost even property, maybe the in-laws were after her, maybe the villagers were also happy that the husband was dead, now the only son is dead. And those who wanted to possess her property were very happy. Even some of them were celebrating because they knew there is no heir for the widow. But I want to tell you, those who are laughing at this widow were shocked because when Jesus walked in that city, things changed. And the Bible says, Jesus had the compassion and said, do not cry. I know this evening I might be speaking to somebody who has lost hope. Your life is in pain. Your life is suffering. Maybe you lost a job. You lost your finance. Your family has deserted you. Maybe your marriage broke up. Parents, because of sickness. You have lost a valuable friend. You've lost valuable wealth. And I want to speak to you this evening. But the good Lord has sent me to tell you to not cry. Because when God speaks, things change. Those who have deserted you, those who have mocked you, those who have eliminated you, they turn back. And when they turn back, they find you laughing. Because when you lose, nobody wants to associate themselves with a loser. People would always want to associate themselves with those willing, with those with victory, with those with work. But because of your loss, and this widow had lost the only son, people were celebrating, others were very happy, others were very joyful for the Lord. I want to speak to you this evening, no matter what you have lost, Jesus is telling you to not cry. It doesn't matter what you have lost. It doesn't matter how long it has been long. His only son was dead, and people were preparing to bury him. They know it's over. They were so sure that nobody will ever raise him again. Nobody will ever have a name again. And they had known that this widow will suffer the rest of her life. But God's plan was to say, I want to say, whatever God is planning for you, it's very different from what Son of Man is planning for you. God's plans are always good. God's plans are always prosperous. God's plans are always faithful. The Bible says Jesus was so much touched, and he told his widow to not cry. She stopped crying, for the only son was brought back to life. I want to speak to that marriage. I want to tell you, it might have been because of people who feel your family. They let your marriage to break up because of your reputation at work. People can't up to chase you away from your employment. People can't up to make sure you close the business. But I want to tell you this evening, Jesus is touching your life again. Jesus is touching that marriage again. Jesus is touching your fiancé again. She might or he might have left you because you didn't have a job. Even spiritual friends might have deserted you. Because when you started working when things started running back, they said you no longer pray. They picked up things about your life because things were not running well. You had lost your faith. You had lost your will to move on. You had even lost the power to pray. But this evening, God is touching you again. Jesus is touching that spiritual life again. I want to see you raise up on your feet. I want to see you raise up in prayer. I want to see you raise up in faith. And you are going to stand up and preach as if you have never preached again. You want to pray as if you have never prayed again. Just because Jesus is touching your life again. People might have said different things. When you lose, even your name changes. They might have called you names. They might describe you in very different ways. But Jesus is saying, don't cry. Don't cry. When he says don't cry, he means it. He's a God who is faithful. He's a God who can be trusted. The only friend who has compassion. The only village who are generous. The only village who are happy. That this woman has got. She has lost her only son. But it's only Jesus, the Bible says, only Jesus has compassion on her. And he says, don't cry. This evening is why somebody's here. You might have lost your property. You might have lost your job. You might have lost your family. You might have lost anything that you value. And even your name, your title, all these things. Pastor, you lost your title. When some people come to they broke out from the church. People called you names. They say to worship devils. But I want to tell you, this evening, God will not touch you again. Your ministry will also raise up. Your ministry will never be the same. Because when God says, don't cry, he will not give you life. And he will not give you a very happy and laughter. That those who have been celebrating your downfall, those who have been celebrating your loss, will wake up and be shocked because you will be laughing, you will be celebrating, you will be rejoicing for Jesus has come again your life. Jesus has raised up again your ability. And also, when we read in the Bible, the book of Revelation, chapter 21, verse 4, the Bible says, he will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the order of things have passed away. Jesus is still talking to us. Those who have lost, those who have been in pain, those who have been crying, those who have been grieving, like this widow who was crying about her loss. She was so much in pain. She was so much grief. She was so much in tears, but the Bible says Jesus will wipe out every tear from their eyes. I know you have been crying very much about that. You have been crying very much about our family. But this evening, God wants to wipe out every tear. That pain of sickness, God is wiping it out. That mourning, that crying, that pain in your life is pain. For these words are trustworthy and true. He's changing the order of all the things. This widow has been known as a loser. They have known he lost her husband. Now the only son is also gone. But Jesus, only Jesus knew that he had not lost. All was not lost. Jesus was aware that I know once I step in that city, whatever this woman has lost, the only hope she had, the pain she has gone through, Jesus will wipe it out. I know my sister, my brother, you lost out on something. You lost out on something you value so much. You lost out on somebody you value so much. Somebody that you trusted. Let you die and you are downcast. The family that you rely on so much. People you really help. People you really assist in life. Those whom you are looking for to raise you up. During the time of your downfall, all of them have let you down. It's good for even your future father, future mother, your great friends, all of them in the family has come up against you.
just because you lost your job, just because your business did not work, just because your parents you defied, just because you had a divorce. I want to speak to you this evening. Whatever pain you have been going through, Jesus says he will wipe every tear from their eyes. He is wiping your tears. There will be no more death, no more mourning or crying or pain, for the source of honor of pain has passed away. Jesus is taking your title. No matter what they have called you, no matter how they have looked at you, Jesus is changing it now in Jesus' mighty name. You might have been simply right, but because of lady's life, because of suffering, because of witchcraft, people have come up against you, and things are not working well. I want to pray with you. I want to tell you there is a call in heaven. Jesus is the only friend who can speak to you like no any other friend. He sees the invisible. He invokes the power that is invisible. When you think that you are losing, when you think that you are nothing, God will promote you to something. So I'm speaking to anything that you lost in your life. That was destroyed by the devil. That hell that the devil has destroyed. That happiness. He has caused you a lot of pain and suffering. But this evening, Jesus says, don't cry. Don't cry, for he's wiping out your tears. When he says don't cry, nobody, not even the devil can make you cry. When he says I'm wiping out every tear, nobody can make you cry again. Nobody can bring back the pain that Jesus has made in your life. I want you to believe that no loss is too big for Jesus. He is Jesus, the name above all names. He is God Almighty, and he says, no matter what you're going through, I'll be with you. I'll make sure that I stand you and go before you, and everything in your life will be new. He says he's giving you the other things to come with. This widow had lost. This widow was in mock. This widow was in my face. After Jesus telling her to cry, she received her pain. She received her healing. She received her happiness. She received her joy and laughter. And those who were laughing at her, those who were mocking her, were shocked because it was reversed. I'm reversing every pain. I'm reversing every suffering. I'm reversing every tear that the devil might have caused you. This very evening, I want to speak to each and every soul that Almighty God is listening to this message, that you are going to wipe out each and every tear from their eyes. You're going to remove each and every pain into their head. But I want to speak out of prosperity. Whoever lost, Jesus is never over, and he will say over. And you say, wherever your place, nobody can cut it. Father, pray for every listener, wherever they are. I know it might be intense, it might be suffering, just because of the enemy. But this evening, you are rebuking each and every enemy in their life. You are exploring each and everything that the devil has stolen from them. Father, as you respect life and the bad son of the widow, Father, restore their life, restore their joy, restore their peace. Restore each and everything that they have lost. Let their families be united. Let the peace prevail into their peace. Let each and every enemy that was appealing their life be defeated in Jesus' mighty name. Father, I'm speaking laughter into their life. I'm speaking joy into their life. I'm speaking blessing in each and everything that they undertook. Once they trust in you, for you say you are the life and the truth. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, I also want to pray for my sister, Claudia. Father, whatever she has lost in her life, in the first one of your truth, and in spite of this gospel, Father, may you restore it to Jesus' mighty name. I want to pray for the entire family of